Welcome to our Saturday simulcast, actually recorded today on a Sunday morning due to some work-related processes. We covered games. Brian was in Brownsburg on Saturday night. And of course, the Purdue football lost to Nebraska. We'll talk about that topic as well. Want to thank our sponsor, and that's the Purdue Union Club Hotel. Had their last regular season watch party yesterday, and we appreciate all that they do for us. And we also want to say that you can subscribe to goldenblack.com. We have a 40-day free trial on there, and it is available. And there's always also gifting opportunities for the holidays for people that want to gift a goldenblack.com subscription. So, Tom, I'm going to start with you. Obviously, an extremely disappointing loss for the Boilermakers yesterday, a 37-27 defeat at the hands of Nebraska in a game that came unraveled early for Purdue, trailing 17-0 in the first quarter. The Boilermakers did, to their credit, fought back, got within a touchdown, but it was a calamity of too many penalties, special teams mistakes, all those things. What say you a day later or nearly 24 hours later after what was a very disappointing loss for the Purdue program?
Yeah, sort of like Coach Brohm said after the game, the team seemingly can never get all three phases of the game clicking simultaneously, offense, defense, special teams. And yesterday, guys, it was sort of more of the same from a special team standpoint in particular. I know the defense had its issues, but guys, still, it's just so confounding to see these special teams errors continue to crop up. Back-breaking mistakes. Go back to Minnesota, the 27-yard field goal block, and you push a 33-yarder wide, you lose by 3 points. Rutgers game, you give up a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, you lose by 7 points. And, of course, yesterday, guys, I mean, right out of the gate, first possession of the game. It's bad enough your offense sputtered. You drop back to punt, and it gets blocked. Ball's at the 1 yard line. Nebraska scores. Al, you talked about the 17-0 hole right away. That game really had almost a finality to it that early in some ways. So, you know, like I said, you like to think a team would show progress and improvement and get better as the season goes along. But guys, I think we all can agree, right? It's been a regression almost steadily each week. I'll be honest, that Iowa game 24-20 at home, I think we all were filled with a lot of enthusiasm and had promise for this team this year. And it's been a slow descent ever since then, to the point, guys, where you wonder, will Purdue win another game this year?
Yeah, and obviously Purdue will face its rival in Indiana fresh off an impressive, I would say extremely impressive win with a backup quarterback at Wisconsin. And with all the momentum. But Brian, also, you know, the thing that's it's been troubling is, so you do work yourself back into the game yesterday. I mean, David Bell, the 89-yard reception, touchdown reception, and you get a chance to get off the field, and then, you know, a calamitous penalty called, 126 yards in penalties, the most, I think, in the 21st century for a Purdue team. Is this just, just bad luck at the wrong time, discipline issues? I mean, all the above?
Well, it's all of the above. And, you know, to be honest with you, all last week, you know, Jeff Brohm made a lot of comments about, like, his team's confidence level and his team's, not sure what word I'd put on it, but almost it's the fear on his part that his team almost, like, expected bad things to happen. And then when you come out and you have your opening punt blocked and then give up a touchdown one play later, it's like you kind of wondered right then and there, was this game over? Just because of how Purdue has responded to such things so far this season. But, yeah, Purdue did work its way back into the game. As I said, you know, during the game yesterday, was if anybody can lose this game at this point, it's Nebraska. Because this is also the kind of stuff that happens to Nebraska all the time. And when David Bell scores that 89-yard touchdown or however long it was, that was Nebraska football in a nutshell. You have a game won and you give up a big play like that, and all of a sudden it's a brand-new ball game. But then you get to that point where, again, it comes down to the defense, which just cannot stop anybody. And then, you know, when you're not winning, when you're not having success, you worry about some of the little stuff kind of coming unglued. And the discipline part of it was obviously something that was a big problem yesterday for Purdue. And that's the sort of thing where when guys are losing, do they get a little bit casual with their discipline? And, you know, there were some really costly penalties. I don't know how many personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conduct penalties Purdue had yesterday, but I think it was at least three. I think they were, you know, I think they got baited by Nebraska a couple times. Nebraska was pretty chippy and pretty mouthy and, you know, all that stuff. But that's the kind of thing where you just wonder, are things completely going off the rails, is when you see guys losing their cool, and if they had their cool in the first place. But just not a pretty picture for Purdue yesterday in all sorts of phases. You know, the special teams and defense are a mess right now. But when you see a team just kind of losing its cool the way Purdue lost its cool too, that's kind of what cost them a chance to, you know, really, really, you know, make Nebraska sweat at the end. If it's not for that, you know, personal foul on second and 21, whatever it is, you know, who knows what happens. Purdue might've gotten off the field. Their track record, Purdue defense's track record in such situations is not a positive one, but that penalty obviously was crucial. That was a crazy drive because penalties were Purdue's worst enemy and best friend.
Yeah. Very strange deal. It was a strange game, Tom. I mean, in terms of just, you feel like you're completely out of the game, and then you do have the opportunity to get back in it. You know, offensively, Jack Plummer played threw the ball better as the game went on, it seemed. Couldn't run the football consistently, though you had your longest run. I think it was the longest run, or what, a long play called back from that standpoint. But it just seemed bizarre. He never felt like – and yet – statistically, and this is where it's interesting with the defense, and I'm not crediting that Purdue's defense is doing a great job, but they did hold Nebraska. I think they outgained them or held them to 364 yards. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things. Where do you start here, and what do you do if you're to try to move forward to play your rival next week, Tom, where Indiana has everything going in a positive direction, had a huge road win with a backup quarterback yesterday. What do you try to do to get this fixed?
Yeah, you got to hope, I guess, the small class of seniors you have, Alan, can keep these troops rallied and focused. And maybe the specter and excitement of playing your rival for the old Oakham Bucket, you know, a chance maybe to rain on IU's season, maybe that could be some motivation for Purdue next week in Bloomington. You know, you talked about the run game, Alan, 17 carries for minus 2 yards. I know there were three sacks for minus 21 yards that knocked that number down. But, you know, going back, watching the game and listening to Coach Brom, there was really, I don't think there was ever any plan to make the run game a real priority on Saturday. I don't know why. This was a Nebraska defense, guys, that came into Saturday 12th in the Big Ten against the run. Purdue was coming off its best rushing effort of the season last week against Rutgers. Xander Horvath, to me, is a tremendous threat. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want to get him the ball as often as you could. But long story short, again, guys, no running game. Jack Plummer, I thought, played well enough to win. But one other point on offense, all year, guys, I know we had the 89-yard TD catch yesterday for David Bell. You know, two Nebraska guys ran into each other. I'm not going to take away Bell's touchdown, but I guess my point is there's really been a lack of big plays all year. That was Purdue's first play over 50 yards all season, right? And Rondale Moore, I guess I expect big plays out of him. Maybe I'm asking too much. But, you know, once again, guys, 13 catches yesterday, 78 yards, 6 yards a catch, one carry for 7 yards. Really hasn't been his same explosive self, if you want my honest opinion. Maybe he's not totally healthy. I don't know. But, again, I said before we got on camera how excited we were about having David Bell and Rondale Moore together. Finally, we're finally going to get him for an extended stretch together. And Purdue hasn't won since Moore's been back, and the offense continues to lack the ability to get big plays. And we all know Jeff Blum says you got to get those chunk plays, and they're not happening, guys. So plenty of blame for everybody, the offense included, I think.
Brian and Jeff Brom in the post game did, after we finally got the audio, and there were some technical issues with that, but did finally list the opt-out guys, the list of guys. You know, that may be a function of 2020 world. I don't know what necessarily to make of it. And yet, you know, this is a team it's going to take all of the skill of every coach on that staff to keep it together to face an Indiana team that's going to be highly motivated and is getting every positive thing, every positive accolade thrown its way right now. I mean, these are all factors that I think will be interesting to watch to see how Purdue can make itself competitive next Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, to the topic of the opt-outs, I know it's probably not a great look for Purdue. I'd like to know if this is happening elsewhere. If this is something that happens at other schools,
yeah,
then that tells us that this is 2020 and these guys are legitimately concerned about, you know, about the way the season has gone, about COVID, all of that stuff. But if this is just a Purdue issue, you know, kids are kids. And if kids are, I wrote last night, if kids are engaged in their programs, if they're enjoying their teammates, if they're enjoying their work environment, they're going to want to play football. And if they feel safe, and that's obviously the most important part of this here. But it doesn't look good in terms of what might be going on behind the scenes with Purdue that would have coincided, aligned itself with this downward turn in their season, this season-ruining stretch of four games here. Again, I would like to know if this is happening at other places, because that would tell us if this is just the way kids right now are thinking all across the country. I don't know. But it obviously doesn't look great.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point, and certainly something that you have to you look at the way that Jeff Brohm does business, and he's known as a player's coach, known as a guy that can breathe enthusiasm and fire into his program. And Tom, you're going to need all of that next week against Indiana. Indiana not only is good, but again, as we said, maybe for the third time already on the simulcast, they're motivated. It's a chance for the Hoosiers maybe to get themselves. If Ohio State doesn't play, then yeah, that's another thing. But certainly to a New Year's Day, if there is a New Year's Day bowl, to a high level bowl for itself, if it can get the job done against Purdue.
Yeah, tough game, like you said, Alan. Purdue lost the bucket last year, of course, and we've talked about a lot of the issues that need to be cleaned up. Pretty much, you know, most every major part of the team this year. And, you know, a little disconcerting. I mean, I asked Jeff Brohm last week if he was more involved with the preparation of the special teams and defense. And he said he was. You know, he was in on the meetings and very more involved than usual. And the results certainly didn't reflect, I guess, to me, any more input. And you know, here we are. I'll come back to the defense too, guys. Turnovers, the lack of takeaways, right? It's been 14 quarters now since Purdue's had a takeaway. You got to go to the second quarter of the Northwestern game to find the last time Purdue had a takeaway. That's three full games and a half. We did get one sack yesterday, so we've had two sacks in the last four games. So, Alan, you talked about the stats. If you do look at the overall general stats, the defense, they don't look horrible. But, again, it's those lack of takeaways, the lack of sacks, and like still the struggles on third downs to get off the field. And how about just making a big play at a timely point in the game? We were talking about when it was a seven-point ball game, Nebraska had the ball. Purdue could have gotten it back with a stop, maybe kick a field goal to get a little bit closer or score that touchdown. What happens? They let Nebraska go right down the field, kick a field goal, to make it a two-score game. So on and on it goes. And like I said, it's going to be an interesting week and an interesting ball game Saturday down in Bloomington.
All right, we'll now change the subject to a challenging one as well. Purdue men's basketball Friday night did a lot to get a win, but they also clearly struggled in the first half against a team that it should have beaten maybe more easily. What did you learn, Brian? You've written a lot about it, but as Purdue heads into a game this week at Miami on Tuesday, I think at 5:00, and then of course Indiana State on Saturday. Just a sign of another young basketball team in terms of just growing pains, or is this some other? And again, obviously Purdue's playing without two of its best players too. But all these things said, how do you look at that 36 hours later?
Yeah, hey, let me make one last point about football here real quick before I talk about basketball. It feels like this has sort of come full circle. Like when Jeff Brohm got the job, Purdue had more success than it was supposed to in those first 2 years because Jeff Brohm convinced a team that wasn't used to winning that it could win, you know, convinced it to give supreme effort. Now here you are a couple of years later with a more talented roster, a credit to the job this coaching staff has done in recruiting, that it feels like Jeff Brohm and his staff have to convince they can win and has to convince to play hard. Those situations in the fourth quarter where the defense needs to stop, needs to give the offense the ball, and just dies by a thousand cuts, just cannot get off the field, cannot do anything, just sits there and takes it. That's where, you know, somebody has to do something to change Purdue's reality. It's just not happening. Purdue just, that defense just has no ability to rise to the occasion. And that's been the most disappointing thing about these last couple of weeks from Purdue's perspective, I'd have to think. The basketball, yes, that game was hideous. I watched a million fouls on Friday night and then a million penalties on Saturday. So if I could claw my eyes out, I would have done that based on the sports I watched.
It was a horrible game.
Within a 24-hour period. Purdue was bad on Friday night against Valparaiso until it needed to not be bad. Then it kind of figured things out and got the win, but it's to be expected. I mean, this is a team with half of its rotation being guys who haven't played before. You're down two important pieces to your team that has shown up already for Purdue in the results, but it's also not something that's going to easily be escaped, that reality. But it just stands to reason that this is going to be an up and down season for Purdue. They just have so much newness to them. And you saw that. You know, Brandon Newman struggled, but Zach Edey from one half to another was a completely different player. I'm not sure how, you know, necessarily a 7'4" guy, 6 inches from the rim, can miss the way he missed in the first half. It kind of defied physics. But that's just the inconsistency of youth. And I could have told you on day one, I'm sure I did, that there are going to be nights like that. And, you know, the first couple games for Purdue, aside from the Clemson game, which I chalk up in almost entirely to the limitations of Purdue's roster in the backcourt, Purdue had been pretty stable. They had shot the ball pretty well. They had been generally pretty solid. And then Friday night happened. And the telltale now is, what do they take from it? What do they learn from it? You've seen Purdue over the years before lose games like that, but then get better because of it. You know, that stretch years ago of a couple straight losses, North Florida, Wofford, and whoever the other one was, changed Purdue's season. Whatever they took from that changed their season. So it's always good when you learn those lessons and don't have to lose because of it. But the most important part of it is what you do with it from there. And if Purdue grows up a little bit because of this, if Purdue, you know, some of the young guys understand that I might not have done this on Friday night that I did prior, you know, Purdue might be better off because of it. But I kind of chalk it up to just the expected inconsistencies of youth and newness.
Yeah, interesting point. And it will be an interesting, you know, we're all in the world of sports, and the three of us have watched it for a long time. And if you can somehow enjoy or be interested in the ebbs and flows, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Purdue football this week. I mean, and see if it can bounce back. And when no one thinks it can, you know, that's clear. And then obviously with basketball, it's going to be one of those seasons where ups and downs will be part of the show. So guys, any parting shots, Tom and Brian, and then we'll wrap this up. Anything for this week that obviously it's going to be it's bucket week. It's the second week of December. Christmas is what, 19 days away. And we still have two football games to play.
Remember 1989, Alan. I'll just leave you with that.
Okay, if you're a Purdue fan, stick by that one, Indiana. That, of course, Tom's talking about the 15-14 win 31 years ago. Anthony Thompson had the Heisman Trophy in hand. Purdue holds him under – a bad Purdue team holds him under – this team's much better than that team was, in all honesty. And Indiana doesn't get to go to its bowl game, and Thompson doesn't win the championship. So, yeah, good point. And that'll be interesting. Brian, what say you? Yeah, go ahead. What else? Anything else that you want to add to this brilliant Zoom and/or podcast?
You talked about how, you know, no one thinks Purdue can win. The important part is, just, does Purdue think it can win?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, is Purdue emotionally scarred from these 4 weeks? Do they even have it in them at this point? Are they just kind of counting down the days here to get this crazy season over with? I don't know. We might find out next weekend. This could go a lot of different ways. I could see Purdue putting up a hell of a fight. I could also see Purdue, based on what happened yesterday, I could see Purdue, you know, maybe not putting up so much of a fight. Things don't seem right. I think we can all agree on that. It just, a lot of what Jeff Brohm said last week seemed very coded. He was talking about his anecdote about Steve Young and understanding that when the coaches make a call, it's up to the players to execute it or to figure it out, as he put it. He talked about his team's confidence level. He talked about getting more involved in defense and special teams. And when the head coach says, I'm going to be more involved in these other parts of our team this week, that is a positive thing 0% of the time, historically. It just seems like things are not right. Things are not in a good place right now. Behind the scenes, I think you're seeing an effort level, especially on defense, that has waned over the course of the past month or so, which doesn't reflect well on, you know, the environment and practice probably. Purdue's just got to figure it out. As you said, no one thinks Purdue can win, but the most important part of it is, does Purdue think it can win, and how bad does Purdue want to win?
The last thing, guys, the inability to deal with adversity too. Coach Brohm talked about that. You know, in life, you're always going to get punched in the nose. It happens in football games. It happens in your job, your whatever. How do you deal with adversity? You know, it's not what happens to you that defines you. It's how you respond to what happens to you that defines you. And Purdue has shown an inability to deal well with adversity.
I was talking about that yesterday with a couple people. Ever since Nevada last year, ever since that game, that there's been this, I don't even know how to put it, but it's felt like things changed after that game. You look at the second half at Illinois, it reminded you very much of that Nevada game.
Yeah.
You look at the Minnesota game where you could have won that game. You don't get, obviously, a bad call by an official beats you the same way the interception by Kenneth Major, you know, ended up beating you out in Reno. It feels like if there's a confidence issue with Purdue, if there's a deep-rooted expectation that bad things are going to happen at important times, that might be kind of the scar tissue that's causing it here.
Well, I'll pile on one more time, and that is that, you get a 53-yard field goal by a walk-on kicker at Nevada, and the world's changed. And I think that is a point that you can point to.
After you had the game won, the biggest part of it is it's not the field goal; it's the meltdown that led to the field goal.
Exactly, and I think that's a thing that you're going to point to. But as Tom, you're dead on. Purdue's got a choice, and we'll see how it deals with that. All right, guys, thanks so much. Always enjoy the conversation online and offline. And we also want to thank you for everyone for listening and watching, and to the Purdue Union Club Hotel for its sponsorship of our Zoomcast. And of course, to make sure that if you want to get a subscription to goldenblack.com, please do so. We have 40-day free trials out there as well. It's a great holiday gift. We've been thankful for all the people that have continued to jump on board with goldenblack.com. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll look forward to next Saturday. I think we'll have a Saturday simulcast after that Purdue-Indiana football game and men's basketball game. Timing TBA. We'll probably know that here a little bit later today. So thanks so much.